Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Dr. Kathy Groover, and we are going to be talking about her new book called Journey of Healing, One Woman's Path to Healing Self and Others. Kathy's book is a practical guide to techniques and tools to help you have a healthier and more satisfying life. As a young child, Kathy discovered a gift for helping, first by massaging her father's neck during car trips, then by assisting a massage therapist who took the kinks out of Kathy and her fellow college acting students. An only child, she watched her mother suffer with cancer for 9 years and observed her father as a devoted caregiver. Finding outlets in theater and dance, Kathy went west to forge a career as an actress. Along the way, she discovered healing modalities, became a massage therapist, and shares her gift of finding what her clients' real problems are beyond their presenting symptoms. She continued to pursue higher learning and advanced degrees. She's received a PhD in natural health and has authored Body-Mind Therapies for the Body Worker and Conquer Your Stress with Mind-Body Techniques. Her award-winning book, The Alternative Medicine Cabinet, was turned into a national talk show. And Kathy was last on my show to talk about the Alternative Medicine Cabinet in February 25th, 2014, just over 2 years ago. If you'd like to hear that particular discussion, you can always go to our website and the archives page. And at the bottom of the page, I have a list of a couple hundred guests that have been on the show listed alphabetically. Just find Kathy's name and click on that, and it'll take you directly to that show. Kathy has also produced an instructional massage DVD, Therapeutic Massage at Home, Learn to Rub People the Right Way. You can find out more by visiting her website, which is www.thealternativemedicinecabinet.com, and I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Kathy to the show. Good day, Kathy.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And how about yourself? How's life in Santa Barbara?
It's beautiful. Has it really been 2 years since we've talked? That's
yes.
Funny.
Isn't that wild? Yeah, I went back and it's like, boy, over 2 years. I mean, I've been following you all of that time and I've been watching all of the things that you've been doing. And it's just really been wonderful. So, yeah, it's been fun, but it's been a long time.
Oh, yeah, it has. It's going too fast. Thanks for having me back. I so appreciate it.
Well, it was my pleasure. And anyway, I'm really happy to talk about this book. And now, first of all, this is your story. So why did you decide to put this down on in a book form and get it out there for people?
You know, it was interesting. I never set out to write an autobiography because that's really not what this is. In talking to more people about natural health and all the things that I do and doing so much radio and so many live talks, I had people, I realized they were more interested in how I got to do these things than what I actually do. They wanted to hear about what it was like losing your mom to cancer and why in the world do I do flying trapeze? And you're a dancer and an actress. That's pretty cool. And, you know, so I found that all these personal stories and the way I found a lot of these healing modalities was just as interesting to people as how the healing modalities work. And I thought, you know, it's time to put this down, in response to more people being interested in those things. And the pivotal moments that I list throughout the book, which are very personal stories, they all have some life lesson in them. A lot of those stories I tell during my live talks, and people love them. That seems to be a lot of times their favorite part of what I'm talking about. So I thought, you know, it's time. It's time to get this out and teach people in a different way. You know, anybody can stand up there and say, blah, 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 health. But I thought, well, I think it's fun and personal and funny, and, you know, I enjoyed doing it. So it got a great response. So clearly I did something right.
Yes, you did. Well, you know, and I understand, you know, the interest in, you know, the journey, how you got to be doing what you did. I mean, you have your toolbox of modalities is the most stocked toolbox of anybody I know. So, you know, it's, I can understand, you know, that particular interest. And then particularly for listeners out there who may be starting their own journey of healing, and it kind of, I think it helps them to understand what, you know, what you did and why you learned some of those modalities and put them into practice. So I think it's probably a good, just a good way for people to be able to examine their own journey too, and maybe, you know, either if not following in your the same kinds of things, at least get an understanding as to some of the options that are available.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, the whole book is about options. I mean, that's really why I wrote it. You know, saying as far back as the introduction to the book, you know, I wrote this to give people options because my mom didn't have any. You know, she was sick in the 1980s in Pittsburgh, where your option for surgery, you know, for chemo, or for cancer, was surgery, chemo, and radiation. And that was pretty much the only offering. You know, it was never presented to her that we could do something to help the symptoms, like acupuncture or herbs or homeopathics, or, you know, I think they gave her a hypnosis tape with the ocean on it that she listened to once, you know, and then it was handed down to me. So letting people know they have options, that they have choices, is really important to me. So many people don't think they have them, and that's one of the reasons that I've explored so many different modalities is, you know, most massage therapists that I know do massage, period. Mm-hmm. That's what they do, and that's totally great. They're fabulous at it. To me, I wanted more. I wanted the Reiki, and then I wanted the herbs, and then I wanted that, you know, and it goes on and on and on. And the other thing I wanted to do was let people know that I've had some failings with it, too, because if you remember the story in the herbal chapter about me and the horseradish, you know, it was a tale, and, you know, I made some mistakes, and just because things are natural doesn't mean they're safe, as is illustrated by the fact that I took way too much horseradish. You know, I wanted people to know that even though I have a PhD and I've been doing this for so long, you know, I'm human and I make stupid mistakes, and it's okay. We move forward from that and learn.
Yeah, I kind of laughed at that. I love horseradish too, but I mean, it was kind of funny because you went through and did the dosage, and then you thought, oh, that didn't work, so you lowered the dosage and still, you know, so it's just one of those things. You know, that's the kind of the things that I think is human nature for us to do, you know, and I think, you know, you really kind of put it out there for people to say, hey, you know, this is me, this is what I did, and, you know, don't do what I did.
Right. Exactly. Or take what I did that was right and do that. But yes,
there you go.
The horseradish. I wanted to let people know, you know, like you said, I wanted to let people know they have options. And that's what this book is about, because it covers, what, probably 20 modalities of things you can do, but just in a really personal way of how I found it and how it worked for me and my clients.
Yeah, very much. And and then also, I mean, later on in the book, you talked about, you know, things. We're going to talk a little bit later about, you have a great list of how to stay sick. But one of the things that you talked about in that one, it was like, don't beat yourself up, you know, make sure that that's real important. And it sounds like even if you do make mistakes, you know, it's really important to just, you know, recognize it for what it is, learn from it, and, you know, just don't do it again if you can.
Right, right. Yeah, try to do it better the next time.
Absolutely. Well, you know, now throughout your book, there are three words that are a theme, you know, that seems to be for your journey, and I'd love for you to share it with the listeners, and that's go for it. So yeah. I would love for you to be able to share with the listeners, you know, just, you know, what those three words mean to you and kind of how it has made a difference in your life.
Yeah, it that's been my mantra since high school, and I don't know why or where it came from, but I think I was always the first one to dive in and try something new. You know, I was a theater person in high school that kind of saved me. My perception was that I did not have a lot of friends, and I was not particularly well-liked. I was kind of odd. I was weird. I have the same sense of humor now that I did in high school. And now it's funny, and when you're 16, it's just weird. So I just don't think people knew what to do with me. You know, I was the only child. I was very adult in my interactions with people. And I just, it felt like I didn't relate to kids my own age. So theater really saved me. But I was the first one to jump up and do improv or the first one to try new things. And so go for it was always my mantra. And I carried that through life. You know, I left the house right after college and drove cross country to move to California to try the acting career thing. And, you know, my husband and I have been spelunking and rappelling and ziplining and swimming with sharks and swimming with dolphins. And I do flying trapeze for fun. And to me, this is such, there's so much abundance on this planet of things to do and things to experience and things to see. And why would you not want to experience those? Why would you not want to travel and experience new foods and new senses? And, you know, to me, it's just, it's an endless supply of knowledge and fun. And I just, I love the fact that we have so much of this accessible to us right now. And, you know, I was last year at this summer, I was in the Middle East. I went to Egypt and Jordan, and I'm about to go on a trip to Rome and Greece because I have an opportunity to speak there. But also I want to experience those things. You know, I want to try new foods and have those experiences and stretch myself to what I can do. And if I think I can't do it or if it worries me a little bit, you know, within reason, I go for it. And I encourage other people to go for it, whether it's simply trying a new restaurant in your town or driving a different way to work. You know, we get into these patterns and these cycles, again, forgetting about choice. And to me, there's a freedom in going for it that that we just have to take advantage of, because there's so many things at our disposal that I think are being ignored or not acknowledged, and I think we have to just take those opportunities.
Yeah. Now, one of the things, speaking of the trip to Egypt, you know, in your book you talked about, you know, there were some friends that were a little bit concerned for you for doing that, and you know, it seems that you know, fear, or you know, if it's not our fear within ourselves, that it might be others, people's fears that sometimes can impact, you know, us, prevent us from going for it. And so, you know, and it seems that even though you go for it in many cases, not everything has always been necessarily a real positive experience, in a sense. You know, sometimes they're learning experiences. So is that just as much a part of the whole process of going forward? Is just, you know, just for the experience, whether it, you know, be, I don't know, I hate to put value on it, good or bad, but whether it be, you know, a real joyous experience or a learning experience?
Yeah, absolutely, because it's through those experiences that we learn, and sometimes it's through those failures that we learn. And I read something that was so fascinating the other day. It was talking about teaching kids to walk, and we now as adults have completely forgotten about the mechanism of how we walk. I mean, imagine what your body and all the muscle control and the balance, imagine what your body is actually doing to get us out of a chair and walk forward. And if you think, if you kind of clear your mind a little bit and you think back to what it was like as a little kid, the way you put your next foot forward when you're walking was because you were starting to fall. That was the only thing that propelled you to put that next foot in front of the other one as you started to fall forward. So because you see kids walking and they kind of go boop back on their bum, they're not progressing forward. You know, I picture this little kid in a diaper just going plop, you know, just sitting down kind of giggling. But that's actually how we learn to walk, is by falling. And I think we have to, you know, if we don't go for these things, we'll never know if we're going to succeed or fail. I'm very grateful that I got out of the Middle East unscathed. I mean, I had nothing really scary happen. But I had a lot of people who were really concerned, some realistically concerned. You know, my father was concerned. My husband was concerned. But I have people who I barely know on Facebook who were chastising me publicly and telling me I was an idiot and I was stupid and why would I go there? And I'm thinking, one, you don't really care if I die anyway because you don't really know me. So why?
Really?
You know, like, but just truthfully, I mean, it's like, you don't care. You're not going to fly to California to my you don't know me. And why are you letting your fear and the stuff that holds you back affect me? And I think that's so much of it. I think it's that misery loves company thing. And these are people that they wouldn't go to the Middle East. So what's wrong with me? Why would I go do that? That's so risky. That's so dangerous. And it's like, well, but that's a calculated risk. I'm not going to hop in a Jeep and a Star Spangled Banner bikini and drive through the desert waving an American flag. I'm not an idiot. Private tours with private drivers in safe areas. And at no time did I feel unsafe. And I feel so bad for the tourism in Egypt because, oh my God, it's such an amazing place. And they are just being beaten down with all what's going on. You know, there were so many of the temples that I was at where it was me and like two other people. you know, and
wow.
they rely so heavily on tourism for not only their, you know, just sort of country finance, but also the individuals. You know, when you have five tour guides standing there hoping they get to give you a tour that day because that's how they make their money and they're not getting anyone. You know, I felt so horrible. I did so much extra tipping because I felt like I was kind of,
mm-hmm.
you know, representing the entire United States. But you have to go for it. And you can't go for it with the fear of failing or else you're not going to go for it. You have to go for it and
yeah.
see what the outcome is. And ultimately, we don't know if it was good or bad. It just is a thing. We're the one that puts the
right.
label on. We don't know how it's ultimately going to play into our lives.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, I do want to let listeners know that if you would like to ask Kathy any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions for Kathy, feel free to type them in. We're going to, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to take just a short 90-second break there. And if we have anybody in the queue or any questions in the chat room, we'll go ahead and take them at that particular time. So, okay, well, one of the things that you know, the kind of now talking, focusing more on healing and the healer.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that it seems I've talked to many that often happens is that the healers seem to go through circumstances that require them to like heal themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as part of the process. What's your feeling about that in this journey of healing?
Yeah, it's interesting. I have found myself having so many injuries and so many ailments and so many things that seemingly come out of nowhere. And inevitably, it becomes almost an internal lesson for me of, okay, what does that feel like? How do I fix that? What worked for me? And inevitably, within weeks, Donald shows up in my office with that exact same thing. And I'm able to say, oh, I know exactly what that is. Because I just had it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to other massage therapists who it's the same way. They'll have three or four people in a row with the exact same problem. It'll be shoulder problem week for them. You know, and over time, it's adding to our toolbox because we're given that lesson over and over again. Hopefully we're learning from that. So I think across the board that has proven to be true of the things that we're experiencing we can then help others with. And whether you're a healer or not, I mean, no matter what profession you're in, if you look at your life, we've all had experiences that we can then reply back to help other people who find themselves in that same situation. So I think that's a universal thing. I think people in the healing profession are just more attuned to it because we do have
mm-hmm.
people coming to us all the time saying, this hurts, this is a problem, I need your help. So oftentimes I think we're given those experiences just so we can help other people. At least that's how I look, how I like to look at it, because if not, I would just keep bemoaning that, you know, I twisted my ankle, I hurt my toe, I needed, you know, thyroid surgery.
Right.
You know, if I can parlay that into helping other people, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, yeah. So, and do you feel that it really crosses the different types of healing, emotional, spiritual, and physical, whatever the type of healing, that's pretty much the case?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, to kind of flip that the opposite direction, I know a lot of people who dealt with mental illness, maybe as a kid, and then ended up going into psychotherapy, or who was an athlete in high school and had a really serious injury, and it was the physical therapist that got them back on that football field, and now they want to go into sports medicine. So I think those things shape us. You know, and the fact that I lost my mom so young, I was only 18 when she died, a lot of people say, oh, well, of course you're into the healing because of your mom. It's not that connected, but it certainly affected who I am and what I do. So I think all of those experiences come together and they guide us into a place where we're able to help others. And I think everybody's a healer, you know, whether you're a bus driver or a trash picker-upper guy or, you know,
mm-hmm.
we all have that ability to reach out to others and give them guidance and give them, you know, give them a hand when they need it. I think we all do that.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you there. Now, one of the things, you know, keeping that in mind, that we all kind of have that within us almost as an innate gift, isn't practicing it an important part of strengthening and being able to be more effective with that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And so much of it is just recognition. You know, of having someone come to you and say, hey, I'm having this such and such pain, and you being able to go back through your consciousness and go, oh, you know what, I had that. Or I just saw a client last week. Is that the same thing? You know, it's connecting those dots and seeing those patterns and saying, oh, I know what that is. I can help that. It's so interesting because, you know, we're in a video game culture now where every kid is in front of their, their iPad and their iPod. You know, as much as I'm not a fan of parking kids in front of a TV and letting them play video games all day, that pattern recognition is really useful from those video games. And I remember just playing things like Simon and, you know, stuff when I was a kid, actually I think is really good at helping train us to recognize those patterns and put these things in order. And I don't know, it seems to have helped me. I have a brain that works that way. So I don't know if that's just my brain or the way my brain grew up, or, but I think it's a matter of recognizing that and making that connection.
Okay. I agree. Now, one of the things that I think that one of those lessons I think you learned is that in the book you have a section on Reiki, and there was a time when you were looking for a like a teacher or someone to attune you, and in that process you were drawn to some people, some not. So, you know, I'm curious if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners, what did you learn through that process, and you know, what are and what you learned, how can that help listeners who are also maybe seeking a healer, you know, a professional healer?
Yeah, there are so many people that do so many amazing different healing modalities. And I've talked to so many clients, interestingly, in just the last couple of days where I say, wow, you know, you could really use a chiropractor. And they say, yeah, I don't believe in chiropractors. And I can assure them, they do walk the earth. They actually exist. They're there. I've seen them. They're not ghosts. But to their sensibilities, to the way they were raised, to the way their background is, they will not go to a chiropractor. Okay, well, it would help you, but I can't force you. I can't convince you. So don't go. But maybe you want to try an osteopath, or maybe you want to try physical therapy, or maybe you want to try Qigong, or, you know, there's an endless supply of modalities. And then in those modalities, there's an endless supply of practitioners. And that's what I found when I was looking for my Reiki master, is this was before the days of the internet. I couldn't Google it. I couldn't go on, you know, all these websites that list practitioners. I was, you know, quote, stuck with the little weekly magazine that had healing stuff listed in it. I think it was the Whole Times or something like that down in L.A. And I found four or five practitioners that advertised that they did Reiki. And right off the bat, two of the ads just, they didn't appeal to me. It just, for some reason, I went, and of the other three, one never called me back. The other one I didn't jive with on the phone. I finally arrived with mine, Diane, who really did resonate with me. And we got along great. We had a phenomenal connection with our personality. And she was an amazing teacher for me for years. I encourage people to explore different things. And if you really want to try acupuncture, try an acupuncturist. And if it just doesn't jive with you, then try a different acupuncturist. You know, there's nothing to say you have to stick with the same practitioner. Sometimes you can be with someone for years, and over time you find, they're not really working for me. I need something different. I need something else. I see a lot of people locked into their practitioners out of whatever, guilt, fear, a feeling of needing to stay with that person, but it's no longer serving them, whether it's a hairdresser or a cleaning person or a massage therapist. It's okay to move forward and try something new. I give you permission to do that. So just explore your options. Not everybody connects with everybody. And I think it's important to find that connection, with, especially with your health practitioners.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, along the same line right there during that Reiki learning period, that you also learned a lesson about the importance of the health of the healer, and how maybe partying doesn't necessarily. So, you know, and with the gift. So, you know, I think this is important. I wouldn't mind sharing that with the listeners because, you know, it's, I think, you know, again, looking for someone as a practitioner, you know, I think their lifestyle also is important.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if Reiki is a hands-on healing technique for those not familiar with it, and you get attuned by a Reiki master to do it. Just they basically give you the energy so that you can then use it on other people. And after my first attunement, I felt great. I could feel the energy in my hands. I was starting to do some healings, and I was still acting in Los Angeles at that point. I was not the happiest in my life, and I found myself misbehaving a little bit in that after shows I was going to parties. I was doing a lot of drinking, a little bit of pot smoking. That's as heavy as it ever got for me. But I had a couple of nights where I really went crazy with the alcohol and the marijuana, and woke up the next day and, of course, felt like crap in general, but realized my Reiki was gone. I couldn't feel it in my hands anymore, didn't feel the same, and I thought, what, that's not possible. You can't lose it. Well, sure enough, you can. So when I called my Reiki master and said, hey, you know, my hands don't feel the same. I've been, what's going on? She said, what did you do? And informed me that, you know, Reiki is a gift, and Reiki is a divine thing. And to abuse myself spiritually and physically, emotionally, why in the world would something as beautiful as that healing, loving energy, why would it stick around? You know, I was at that point not a really good vessel for that. And so I got another attunement from her. And because I'm a doofus sometimes, I went out to a cast party and did it all again. And I lost it again, which was upsetting for multiple reasons. One, it was a great indicator of, dude, you're not behaving very well. And two, what a waste of money. Because at $150 a piece as a starving actress, that was $300 I had just wasted. That's a huge amount of money as someone who's, you know, 23 and you know, and that was the last time I had to do that. You know, I learned, hey, you know, I need to treat myself with respect. And again, I wasn't doing anything outrageous, but for my spirit, it was outrageous enough that the lesson was there of you need to treat yourself better. So, yeah, I learned that one pretty fast.
Yeah. Well, you know, and again, you know, the reason I wanted to bring that up is because it's, you know, for, again, for people who are out there who are looking for, you know, healing professionals, and then also for those who are, you know, in that profession too, you know, just to, to recognize the importance and how important it is to be healthy in mind, body, and spirit for oneself too. So,
right.
Okay,
well,
go ahead.
Just to add to that real quick, it wasn't so much that I was drinking and that I had a puff of pot. It was my intention behind it, which was I'm going to abuse myself right now. So I think it was purely the fact that I wasn't being kind to myself. I was being very negative in my behavior towards myself. So not to say there's anything wrong with alcohol and marijuana in general. I really think it was my intention behind it, which was I'm going to misbehave now.
Oh, that's, yeah, well, I mean, that's good to know. I mean, it, you know, that's, I mean, we always often talk about the power of intention and you know, that's really important. Well, great. Well, we're about halfway through the show. We're just zooming right through. So I want to take just that quick break. And again, if you would like to call in with any questions, the number to call is 619-789-4359. And again, if in the chat room, feel free to type in the, any questions there. And then when we come back, Kathy, I want to spend a little bit of time on a real popular topic that was in, I believe it was in alternative medicine cabinet as well, and that would be the keys to unhealthy living, the how to stay sick list and how to stay healthy list. So I'd like to talk about a few of those things because, you know, that is very much in the mindset of healing, and so we can do that when we come back, okay?
Sounds good.
Great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide. Books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest,
And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, again, thank you for staying with us. My very special guest today is Dr. Kathy Groover, and we're talking about her latest book, Journey of Healing, One Woman's Path to Healing Self and Others. And again, you can find out more about Kathy. She has on her website, which is www.thealternativemedicinecabinet.com. And again, there is a direct link to that website in the show page description. And on her website, you can see she has a store, television, some great health tips, and also wonderful recommended resources. So definitely go ahead and check out her books and also her website. So with that, we're back, Kathy.
Great.
Great. Okay. Great. And one of the things,
of all the questions I answer, I missed that one.
How about that? No, I know my timing is. Well, I also do want to say that, you know, I was also very impressed within your book. You really do have quite a number of resources for people to, you know, to direct them if they want to find out more about a particular topic. And that's great. I think that's, you know, it's your book is like a stepping stone to learning more about all of these different modalities. So kudos for that as well.
Oh, good. Thanks for saying that because, you know, I mean, any one of those modalities they sell books on their own, nutrition and cancer and massage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's textbooks filled with all that info. I didn't want to overwhelm people. I figured here's your intro. If you want more, there's other resources. So thanks for pointing that out because I really did work hard to make sure I gave everybody enough. But if they want more, there's definitely resources. So good to know. Thanks.
You absolutely did. It worked. Mission accomplished. Okay, well, you know, one of the things that was in this particular book, and again, I believe it was in the Alternative Medicine Cabinet, is their keys to unhealthy living. You had a how to stay sick list and to stay healthy list. So if you wouldn't mind, I would love for you to, you know, talk to the listeners a little bit about those two lists and maybe a couple examples, because one of the things is as I was reading that, within myself, I was doing a checklist, you know, is this something I do? Yes or no, you know, and both the unhealthy and the healthy. And then I think that's one of the benefits of those lists is that you can kind of do a self-appraisal as you go through it.
Yeah. Totally. This list actually came out of one of my first lectures, which was this very tongue-in-cheek lecture about how to stay sick and miserable to ensure you're unhealthy the rest of your terrible life or something to that effect. And I put together this list to talk about during the talk. And I wanted to do it that way because I realized so many people were talking about, hey, you know, you need to do this to be healthy. I thought, well, let's flip it around and tell everybody how to be really sick. You know, so I came up with a list, and you're right, it's been in actually, I think, all of my books, because everybody loves this list, and I had done the How to Stay Sick list, and I had given it to a couple of friends of mine to read, you know, one of the proofs of the books, and all of them said, oh my God, I love that list, but you know, I feel really cruddy after reading it now. Why don't you do a How to Stay Healthy list, too, to perk us up a little bit?
Uh-huh.
I said, okay, perfect. So sometimes we realize things through the opposite example. So you might find yourself in some of these. Here's a couple of the how to stay sick. Find other negative people and make them your best friends. Don't relax. After all, you're very busy. Believe your illness or sickness is hereditary and you have no control over it. Live in the past. Think a lot about the bad stuff and make sure you tell everyone. Fear the future. You know it's going to suck. Take no risks to grow and evolve. This is one of my favorites. Never laugh. It's for idiots. Envy everyone else for what you don't have. Consume a lot of chemicals in food, water, air, and home products. Focus on all of your problems. Apologize for existing. Try to fix everyone else. They're broken. And remember, you can never change. That's just a couple of them. And
yeah.
On the contrary, the how to stay healthy list, so much better. Find positive, supportive people and leave the negative behind you. There's always options for the future. Laugh. Don't blame or resent people from your past. Know that healing comes from forgiveness and moving forward. Don't make excuses. The time is now. Know you have within you the power to change, and at the very least, you can change your own mind. And, of course, go for it. There's a couple of the positive ones.
Yeah. You know, and also in the positive ones, too, that I really liked, there was one, don't use words like never and always. You know,
right.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, that I know I find myself using that often, and after reading the list again, I find myself my awareness is raised whenever those two words now come out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a common one if anybody's ever done, you know, relationship counseling and you're working on like nonviolent communication and that, you know, talking about your I statements. You know, you're never supposed to say to your spouse, "You always." Because really, we don't always anything, you know, or you never, it's like, So when we do that to ourselves, too, what's that saying about our relationship with ourselves? So if we feel like, you know, you always fail, you never get it right, it's really important to change that, those negative words to positive ones, because that's misguided thinking. You know, there is no always or never. And I think getting away from those words is so important in our own self-healing. And I know that self-talk is so important, and I talk about that in all my books about stress, those negative words that we use, the negative things we say about ourselves and to ourselves. And we wouldn't let someone else say that to us, so why are we doing it to ourselves? So I think eliminating those words is key to having better health.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like I say, that's one of those that, again, my awareness, you know, that little alarm goes off now every time those words kind of pop out of my head. But it's good, because I think that's what then leads to change, you know, in a different perspective, which is, I think that's the key. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, one of the things also that you talk about in the book is a threefold perspective on health. And I found, you know, this interesting because, you know, as we think about our health, basically the perspective, the three folds was, one of them is remove things causing problems, two, add what the body needs, and then three, put extraneous stuff on top. So I would love for you to share that, you know, each of those perspectives, and, you know, again, for those of us who, you know, want to live and be healthier, you know, I think each of those, I mean, it's good and healthy for us to incorporate each of those perspectives.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. That's one of my favorite things. And it's so funny. People hear that I'm into natural health and alternative medicine, and they assume that I can't stand Western medicine and I don't go to doctors and I hate that practice. And that's completely wrong. I'm a huge fan of Western medicine. I wish it was used differently. And this is one of the areas I wish we did things differently, because for the most part, Western medicine is all about symptom management. So if you go to them with a headache, they're going to give you a pill that makes the headache go away, or they're going to give you a pain med that stops the pain of the headache. And what I like about this threefold perspective on health is, well, let's get to the root cause and see what's causing the headache. Is it artificial sweetener? Is it a food allergy? Is it the fact that you're whacking yourself with a hammer? Because you can take all the Imitrex in the world. If you don't stop whacking yourself with a hammer, it's not going to help. So that's why I think we really have to work on eliminating things that aren't working. And oftentimes it is a food. Sometimes it's a habit. You know, maybe you're sitting at the office and you're crunching your shoulder up to the phone to hold it against your ear while you're typing. You know, that's something that we can get rid of. And then the second part of that, and this comes up a lot when I do health consultations, is, okay, so what maybe is the body missing? Are you not drinking enough water? Are you not moving enough? Do you need magnesium? Do we need to get you on a multivitamin or a digestive enzyme? Things that the body should have anyway that maybe you're not getting enough of. Then if that doesn't work, if you've gotten rid of what we think is causing the problem and we got the natural stuff back in you, then let's look to see what else we can add. And oftentimes it is a pharmaceutical or it is a surgical intervention. And I'm not opposed to that. I send clients all the time to the endocrinologist to have their thyroid checked, the gynecologist to have the hormones checked. Or, you know, I think we have to work in concert with Western medicine. And their diagnostics are amazing. They've got great solutions to things that alternative medicine can't offer. You know, if you have a gunshot wound, please don't come to me for a massage or a homeopathic. Please go to the emergency room. You know, I have a very dear friend who probably right about now is having a brain tumor removed. You know, we're not going to treat that with an herb. We can treat post-surgery stuff with an herb, but right now he needs to have that out, and he needs to be on those anti-seizure drugs in the meantime. You know, so I see great benefits to both systems of medicine. And sometimes it's what we add on is an herb or homeopathic or a different exercise program. But I think unless we eliminate what's causing the problem, it's going to keep happening. And we end up in this vicious cycle of too many pharmaceuticals then causing more issues, causing more pharmaceuticals, you know, this iatrogenic disease. So I think if it's something that's not life-threatening, going through those three steps first is really going to benefit you.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and you mentioned a couple times homeopathic, and I really didn't realize I didn't have a clear understanding of what that was until I read that particular chapter in your book. So would you mind sharing with the listeners a little bit about exactly what homeopathic is?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a huge buzz about homeopathics right now because there's a lot of people that say it's complete bunk, it's complete snake oil, it doesn't do a thing. I personally have found it to be really beneficial. If you get the right remedy for the right person, they're fabulous. The idea behind homeopathics is that like cures like. And if you give someone a very, very minute dose of something, which in a large dose would cause a problem, it will help your body heal that problem. So it's sort of like a vaccine. You give the body a teeny little bit of something, and then it builds up an immune to fight it if you would happen to be exposed to it. Same kind of theory. What everyone kind of criticizes homeopathics for is it's such a minute dose. In many of the remedies, you can't even find any chemical properties left. They say, well, you know, that's not possible. It's not gonna help. But I have to say, I have seen it work on kids. And I've seen it work on animals where the placebo effect isn't happening. You know, my cat doesn't say, oh, she's giving me blah, 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 so I'm going to make up. I'm throwing up. The hairballs are going to go away. They don't have the mind to do that. Nor do little children. They don't know what you're giving them. They just know it's a little sugar pill and, oh, it tastes great and fabulous. What's so great about homeopathics is it's so customizable. And going back again to the example of a headache, if five people have a headache and they go to their doctor, they're probably going to walk out with five pretty darn similar prescriptions. Whereas five people go to a homeopathic physician, they're going to walk out with five vastly different remedies, depending on everything from, is it on the right side of the head or the left side of the head? Are you craving cold liquids? Do you feel better under the covers? Do you want to be out in fresh air? Does it hurt when you bend down? Does it hurt when you're asleep but okay when you're awake? Does the cold shower make it feel weird? As bizarre as the symptoms get, that's how they decide on a homeopathic remedy. And I think one of the reasons so many people feel that homeopathics don't work is they walk into their local health food store, they see a little vial that says headache, they buy it for $8, and they take it. Well, that's a combination remedy. And what they do when they make combinations is they pick the four or five most popular remedies for that, they stick it in a formula, and they kind of hope it works. You're throwing spaghetti against the wall at that point. Or they have the vials of individual remedies. But the downside of that is they will list one or two things it's good for. It's good for hundreds of things. So I think at that point, you know, people spend the $8, they put it in their mouth, they chew it up, they say, oh, that's tasty, and then it doesn't do anything, and they say, oh, it's a bunch of bunk. You have to have patience. It's going to take a while to work, and you have to make sure you have the right remedy. So I think the fact that it's so readily available is actually a detriment to the system of medicine because it's, you know, it's not chosen for you. That's like letting someone loose in the back of the pharmacy. Okay, you have diabetes, go for it. We don't know what the heck you're taking. It's the same way with the homeopathic. So I think if you work with a qualified practitioner and really get into the system of medicine, I think it's an amazing, amazing system for people.
Yeah, so now would the reason that someone who visited a homeopathic practitioner would have different types of treatment versus a Western doctor? Is it, it sounds like, you know, it's first of all that maybe the medical Western medicine doesn't recognize the value of the treatment, homeopathic treatment, and that maybe the homeopathic practitioner spends more time trying to identify the cause of the specific details of the ailment?
Yeah, I think it's sort of a combination of what you just said. I don't know many, if any, just regular Western medicine doctors that are going to say go to a homeopath. It's not in their toolbox. They weren't taught about it. What they were taught about it is it's bunk, it doesn't do anything. So they're not going to recommend it. And the times that I've said, oh, I'm taking homeopathic, blah, 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 they look at me like I went, blah, 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 blah. They don't get it. They don't even understand what I'm saying. I had recommended some to my dad because he had had surgery and there was a homeopathic that would have been great for him. He goes to his pharmacist and says, my daughter wants me to take this. The pharmacist looks at it and says, it's sugar. You're diabetic. You can't take it. No, you know, you can't go to your car mechanic with your computer and say, fix it. He's not going to know what you're talking about. So it's the same way with that. It's just two complete different systems. And I think homeopathics, they just, you know, they'll spend an hour or an hour and a half with you going over really in-depth questionnaires, and then they have hundreds of remedies to choose from. If you get, quote, migraines, how many choices are there? Three or four pharmaceuticals, maybe. So I think it's just a completely different system, just completely different.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, when I was reading, you know, that particular section, I mean, it just seemed to me that there was a much more detailed investigation as to, mm-hmm. you know, what the cause may be, you know, and right. I couldn't see Western medicine doing that, you know, not when it's
right.
a mill and kind of get them in, get them out, you know, give them the right,
right.
pill
totally.
and see you tomorrow. Okay.
Right. Well, it's also how we language things, because if I go to my regular primary care doctor and I say, hey, I've been getting these headaches, yeah, he has a couple questions. What did you try? Did you hit your head? Mm. How's your vision? You know, if I start to tell him, you know, it's weird, it only hurts on the left, and I find if I'm in a warm shower, it feels better, and I really want to be under the covers and loud noises, but if I start to go into that kind of detail, he's going to, that does not matter to him. That is not going to lead him
mm-hmm.
probably to the diagnosis. But a homeopath wants to know all of that because that helps them find the right remedy. Yeah, it's the way we language these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one of the things that you have a chapter in your book about empathy, and
mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I would like for you to kind of talk a little bit about that. You know, it seems, you know, people who are in the healing profession, you know, empathy is a you know, it's an important part of trait, you know, to have,
mm-hmm.
but also sometimes people, you know, I guess don't know where to draw the line, you know, between being empathetic and, you know, and maybe taking on a client's pain or that kind of thing. So how from your perspective, how does being empathetic fit into the healer's journey?
Most people that I know that are healers, whether it's a homeopath or a massage therapist, it actually tends to be people that are more putting their hands on someone. So a lot of massage therapists I know will take on their client's pain. I do not recommend that. That's horribly uncomfortable. It's dangerous for you. It shortens your career. It's, you know, it's tough because society has not yet figured out how to address that. And when I was a little kid and we'd go to the mall and walk around, I thought everybody felt everything like I did. I was incredibly
mm-hmm.
sensitive to the feelings and the emotions and the moods of people around me. So if I was in a really crowded store, I would start to feel almost emotionally overwhelmed of, oh, I'm feeling this anxiety. Oh, I'm feeling fear and I'm feeling sadness and I'm feeling, you know, I could just pick up on everything that everybody around me was feeling. It was very uncomfortable. And it wasn't until I was much older where I realized, oh, not everybody does that. Okay, well, we better shut that off because that's weird. You know, when I started doing massage, I found that I would take on people's pain. So their headache would
mm-hmm.
be gone, but I'd have their headache. Again, I don't recommend that. It's very uncomfortable and very dangerous. When I started doing Reiki, that really put up the filter for me. So that now I've been able to transmute that skill into, I think this is where it's hurting on them. And I can tell that, but I don't have to take it on. I now have other ways of getting rid of that. One thing I do still feel very strongly is I will feel others' emotions. So if I go to a funeral or a memorial service, I will feel the grief of every single person that's around me. That's very uncomfortable. My dad's kind of the same way. You know, if we're watching a movie that is the least bit sad, the least bit touching, we will just bawl like little kids. I cry at races. So my husband's a runner, and as people start to
mm-hmm.
cross the finish line, I'm so overwhelmed with that emotion, I will cry, even though I don't know them, which is a little awkward because everyone's like, oh, did you know that guy? I'm like, no. You know, war memorials, you know, you don't want me at the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C., because I will just stand there and sob, even though I don't
yeah.
know anybody that's on that wall. You know, so it's just feeling deeper, and the benefit of that is really helping others through that. But I have interviewed a lot of practitioners who find it to be a curse. They can't leave the house anymore. They found that they were taking on so much illness that they put on a lot of weight, not on purpose, but in some sort of unconscious attempt to shield themselves from that. In talking to, I just did a seminar with John Edward, who is the crossing over psychic guy. And he even said that in his introduction. He said, you know, as a kid, he was getting everybody's stuff. And he said it was just that it was so bizarre because he's seeing all these dead people and he's hearing all these people's thoughts. And, you know, it can be very overwhelming, especially as a kid, again, because we're not taught how to deal with that. You know, that's not a class in sixth grade of, hey, anybody who's feeling other people's feelings right now, raise your hand. So I've been very, very fortunate in that I've been able to use that for good, and it hasn't really negatively affected me. I think had I not found Reiki and really looked for tools to help control that, I think I'd be a mess right now, because it can be overwhelming and scary and painful. And I'm glad I have that gift. I do look at it as a gift because I think it really helps me help people. But for a lot of people, they don't look at it that way.
Yeah, I can see both sides of that coin, you know, easily. And but yeah, so, you know, again, for those who are in the healing profession or empaths, you know, that's just something to keep in mind. So, gosh, we're getting down toward the end of the show. So, one of the things, again, like I mentioned, you have so many different modalities in your book. I'm curious, out of all of the ones that you listed, or maybe even if they're not in the book, is there any particular modality that you learned, first of all, that you learned that you were surprised at how beneficial it was, or, you know, I mean, something that you maybe just had thought, well, no, nah, I'm going to try this, maybe you're not, you know, was there any particular modality that was a surprise to you, or, you know, something that maybe you didn't think that you would learn from, but you did?
Yeah, there's actually two that came to mind when you said that, one of which is Reiki, because I had so many people saying, oh, my God, you should do Reiki. Oh, you should look into it. And I find that when anybody says you should, my wall goes up. And I, you know,
okay.
If somebody said, hey, have you ever thought about looking into, but you know, the you should thing, I can't say, it's one of those words that should be on the list of all of you never.
I know what you mean.
Oh, it just drives me crazy because that means that I've done something wrong. That's how I interpret that, my only child mind. So anyway, I had multiple people saying, you should look into Reiki. Do you know about Reiki? Da, 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 da. And I finally looked at, because it was badgering me. Like then every ad I saw in the magazine was about Reiki. I finally looked into it and went, oh, this is great. I got to do that. You know, and I wasted 6 months rebelling against it when I really should have just gone and done it. The other thing that actually really caught me by surprise in its efficacy, and I'm surprised I didn't come to this myself, is the hypnotherapy, which is one of the more recent things I've done. I added that about 2 years ago, and man, is it effective. And I've had people come to me and sit in my office, and they start to tell me their issues, and I think, oh, boy. I don't think I can help that. And after one or two sessions, I've helped that with the hypnosis. So to me, the amazing array of things that can be helped with hypnotherapy, mind-blowing, no pun intended. So I've got to say that was really the biggest surprise in recent times was how effective that was. It came very naturally to me, and I've had some really incredible results from, like I said, just one or two sessions of things that I thought were going to be not just difficult, but near impossible, and I saw amazing, amazing results. So that was definitely a surprise for me.
Great, good. Well, gosh, we're down toward the end of the show. So, what is it that, you know, you hope that the Journey of Healing book is going to do for people who read it?
Yeah, I hope people realize they have choices. And, I mean, just in this hour, we've talked about so many different modalities and so many different things that you can try in your own life for healing. And I really hope people explore those. You know, and if it's not Reiki, maybe it's homeopathics. Or if it's not homeopathics, maybe it's by flower essences or chiropractic. Or, you know, I want people to know they have options, and I want people to take chances and take risks and go try something new. That's where the whole go for it thing comes from. So, you know, and I want people to walk away from the book having a good laugh, too. There's some really funny things in there. So, laughing and learning, you know, it's kind of a perfect combination for me.
Yeah, well, I know I'm going to be looking at the colors of M&Ms differently.
And we're going to make people read the book to find out what that's about.
Exactly. There you go. That's called a tease, and we're going to tease them. Well, Kathy, this has really been a joy. I really appreciate you spending some time talking with us and sharing it. Like I said, I really enjoyed reading The Journey of Healing and learned a lot. So I really want to thank you for that.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
It is my pleasure. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Dr. Kathy Groover. We've been talking about Journey of Healing, One Woman's Path to Healing Self and Others. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is www.thealternativemedicinecabinet.com. And again, there is a direct link to that website in the show page description. And again, just as a reminder, I did speak with Kathy a little over 2 years ago on February 25th, 2014, about the Alternative Medicine Cabinet. So if you want to hear that interview, just go to our website, www.biteradio.me. Click on the archives page, and down toward the page, I have a list of guests in alphabetical order. Just find Kathy's name, click on that, and that'll give you direct access to that interview. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again... Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BITERADIO.ME. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.